Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And tonight we have with us Jack Giroux. Am I pronouncing that correct?
Yes, Giroux.
From thefilmstage.com. How are you?
And atomicpopcorn.net.
Oh, wow.
Big man. I'm a big man, Andrew.
Big man.
Very popular.
So how are you doing tonight?
Okay, I guess. I mean, you guys, you know.
Aww.
It's always an honor to be here.
Aww. I'm sure.
Even though
Damien
doesn't like me.
I'm sure it isn't, but that's okay. You can lie to me.
It's okay.
Tonight we plan to go through, as usual, you know, what we watch, trailers, news, and then we'll be reviewing the newest straight-to-video release, Trick or Treat.
How did this movie not get a theatrical release? I don't understand. I heard that
I don't know the full story, but it's been going around festivals for like 2 years, and eventually they just gave up on trying to get a full release and just gave it to DVD.
Okay.
I've heard some small details on why.
Well, I guess we can get into that when we end up talking about the film.
Yeah, we'd have to go into spoilers to say why.
Okay. All right, so I guess we can start talking about what we saw this week. Let's start out with you, Jack. What did you see this week worth talking about that won't make me angry at you and make me want to stab you?
Oh, so you saw nothing.
Oh. Yeah, I saw a couple's retreat. Are you jealous? Huh?
No, not really.
No.
Well, just to get it quickly out of the way, I can't say too much since it's not Friday, but Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, you're under embargo for this one?
No, I'm not under embargo, but I just don't want to say anything.
Oh. Yeah.
Can you tell us
if it's
awesome?
I don't want to make you guys too jealous.
Is it awesome?
It's amazing. It's incredible.
I'm jealous.
But you guys can't see it for a while.
We probably won't see it ever.
Whoa.
No one cares.
That's messed up.
We'll have to wait for DVD releases.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I will say that I do think it lives up to the hype, and it's a really beautiful movie. And walking out of the screening, everyone was very mixed, saying it was either okay or incredible. And you know, it's just this really touching movie. It just shows what childhood's really like. In the last 15 minutes, we'll just have you crying so hard, unless you don't have a heart like Damien.
Yeah, pretty much.
Damien, when was the last time you cried for
I'm sorry. I have balls. I don't know if you guys know this. My son of my voice, but I'm a man, right? And when I became a man, they handed me some pants and came with balls and a list of rules that prevent. And on the top, there's no crying. Yeah. I'll have my manhood card revoked.
I will say, though, it's a movie that adults will appreciate more than kids.
Okay.
And then just another quick one. I watched The Assassination of a High School President today.
I've never heard of this one.
Okay, that was also a direct DVD release, and it has Bruce Willis and Misha Barton from the OC.
Yeah, I saw that last week. It's,
What do you think?
I thought it was good, but it was really overhyped. It wasn't as good as people were saying as far as I was concerned.
I actually really liked it. My only problem was I wish there was more Bruce Willis.
I think that was the best part of the film. Like,
he was awesome. He was awesome. But
It was giving me a 90-minute Veronica Mars episode with him running around figuring out all of these things. And then every 20 minutes you'd get a Bruce Willis moment and it would just be awesome.
And plus you wouldn't have a hard-on watching a high school president because you're not watching Kristen Bell. Which is another fault with the film, if I say.
Which is why we all need to go see Couples Retreat. Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Alright.
I don't understand your logic.
Your logic is not sound. But I will say, definitely rent it if you can. I'm even considering buying it. It's kind of similar to Brick. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
It is in the same vein of Brick.
So
I say it's worth a rent, and if you really like it, go and buy it. But rent it first.
Right,
yeah, I really enjoyed it. And just the last quick note for everyone who hasn't seen Law Abiding Citizen, see it. It's insanely stupid, hilarious, awesome, and just awesome. I highly recommend renting it because I don't want to. I want to make sure everyone sees Where the Wild Things Are because, you know, Law Abiding Citizen, not a good movie, but just hilarious.
Read Law Abiding Citizen. Is there anything you can scale it with? Like maybe Crank 2? Like something to give me a better idea of how.
It's as funny as Crank, but unintentionally funny.
Okay.
But still awesome, guys. Still awesome. You get to see Gerard Butler naked, so. Damien, does that do it for you?
No, is not it? Really.
That's worth the ticket price.
Though. That's all, is that on, no, the, that's is that on least, the rules?
Yeah, yeah, on the rules. That's number two.
You should look see at the man's pecs. Yeah. They're huge.
I think that'd be awesome if like we do this like every day we come up with a new rule on the list, kind of like Wedding Crashers.
Sure.
But Damien, no Jamie Foxx nudity. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Can't watch a movie anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but rent that if you can. Rent it.
Okay.
All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
Nothing too noteworthy.
Nah. Damien, what did you see this week?
Well, because you asked us to watch Trick or Treat.
No, skip that. We know you watched that.
No. No. I went and I saw some other horror movies that I've liked. I do not like horror movies in general. I find them I find them very bad, most of them.
Blasphemy.
Finally watched the first Saw, and I don't think I'll be watching anymore. It's pretty bad.
It's not a good movie.
I don't know how they've been making like one a year for the past 100 years or so. What's it though? Saw 103.
I'd just like to remind you and keep this in mind while you're talking about this. Huh. Saw debuted at Sundance.
Don't care. It's still bad.
Oh, but
it's a bad movie.
Don't care. Still bad. All right. So Saw is terrible.
Andrew, let me get this right. You like Saw, but you don't like The Informant?
Andrew is stupid. I don't know if you picked up on this.
What are you
subtle
thinking,
nuance so far. But he's rather a simple fellow.
And you don't like Rear Window, but you like Saw.
Oh, yes. Don't get started with Rear Window, please. All right. So Saw is terrible.
Yeah.
Last House on the Left is also bad.
The new one?
Right. I don't know if I heard that there's another one.
Yeah, it's a remake.
So this one, there's nothing special about it. It's
I like it.
Run of the mill horror movie. Except they kind of flip it where the people aren't running from anything. They're the ones who are taking on the bad people and they're inflicting the horror onto other people. But there was really nothing special. It was just more blood and gore.
Story, I disagree.
Story wasn't that great.
So what did you think about Last House on the Left, Jack?
It was good until a really horrible, stupid ending. It's generally the case with most horror movies.
Yeah, I think the end... Because I didn't really have a big problem with it until, like, right up to the ending. And then I went, this movie's bad.
I just think it's... The acting is actually really good, which is not seen in most horror movies.
Yes,
and it's even really well shot, you know.
That is true. But
yeah, I will say the rape scene went on way too long in that movie.
I guess I have to watch this movie.
Oh, because of there's a rape. You're a sick man.
Actually, I wanted to watch it mainly because in the trailer with that shot of the guy in the heads in the microwave.
Right, it's...
I want to see that.
It's at the end, and it's not.
It's a good movie, though. Rent it.
Alright, I also went back, I saw The Orphanage again.
Yes.
That movie is great.
Yep.
But we've talked about that on the podcast before. I saw Midnight Meat Train.
Oh, I like that one.
And
I like that movie.
I mean, it's...
Except the ending.
It's very gory and... I don't know. Again, I'm not really a big horror person. It just felt kind of samey to me. I don't know.
You feel like the horror genre is played with the necessity of just this excessive gore rather than a proper story.
Instead of actually finding ways to scare me.
They just throw more buckets of goo.
We're going to kill more shit and give you more jump scares. And I'm beyond jump scares at this point. I see them coming a mile away whenever the music slows down. And people start looking around for things that clearly aren't there. I'm like, I start counting back from 5, and then there's a loud bang, and someone dies.
You know what's an awesome scene in that, though? Where the guy's hanging by the meat hook, and they're fighting right in front of him?
Yeah, there's some good scenes in it, but again, I don't know. I think there's...
I really like that movie, and I think the ending was something that differentiated it from the rest of the buckets of goo horror films, which is why I think I liked it.
It was still kind of stupid, though.
Yeah. Right. Stupid can be good, as you said, with Law Abiding Citizen.
Well, but that has Gerard Butler naked.
Wow.
I worry for you sometimes.
Logic.
Well, this is America, guys. We love our Gerard Butler nudity.
And so I watched all those movies, in 2 days. And then I decided that I still hate horror movies. And decided to watch good movies instead. And by good movies, I mean the Transporter trilogy.
Yes.
Those movies are awesome.
Except for the third one.
Hold on. Jack, hold on. I think the third one is the best of
and
the trilogy.
And you are stupid.
Well, you think Rear Window's better than this.
Right. No, we're not talking. You're not talking to Andrew, no. You're talking to me. Right?
Oh, okay.
And while the third one wasn't as awesome, definitely not as awesome as part two.
I actually think the first one is the best one.
But part two, he flipped a car and took a bomb off the bottom of the car. That's the most awesome scene. That's the best any scene with a car in movie history. That will never be topped by any.
But that can't top Jason Statham with his shirt off 20 times. And
I don't like where this podcast is headed. It's all about naked men. I don't follow it.
The third one just didn't have enough Jason Statham with his shirt off.
The third one wasn't directed by Leterrier, so that's probably why it wasn't as good.
I like Leterrier.
Yeah, he did Transporter. Those are really
Unleashed.
High up on the list.
What were you saying, Jack?
He did Unleashed with Jet Li, which I like.
Yeah, that was good.
All right.
Was it Morgan Freeman that was in that one?
Yeah,
I'm mixing it up. I totally thought he was just talking about the other Jet Li movie, the Unbeaten movie, the one where he's this
Kung Fu master
who's been unbeaten and undefeated. What's the name of the movie?
I don't remember.
Can't remember, but I didn't really like that much. But Unleashed is Danny the Dog, the one with Bob Hoskins and Morgan. I like
that
one.
Was good.
Yeah, that movie's badass.
And I saw one other good movie this week. And when I say good, I mean it was friggin' horrible. But I am now safe in saying what I've been saying since February when Watchmen came out, that CG is finally at the point where you can't really tell. I saw the Transformers movie, the new one, and it's probably some of the worst movies I've seen in quite a long time. It's really, really bad, and my head still hurts. I can't even think of a way to edit that movie into a good movie.
No,
that's just all garbage all the time.
Damon, what you have to do is you have to imagine yourself whilst watching this movie in a packed theater in Jamaica with everyone around you cheering.
No,
this
I don't
movie.
Need to imagine that. Right?
And that hurts me.
But it is stunning in Blu-ray. And the Transformers look amazing. So I'd like to thank Industrial Light and Magic for continuing their good work.
I would like to
ask them a favor, that they actually build a Transformer and kill all the people who have anything to do with this movie. Because these movies are terrible.
Well, I disagree.
You like the second Transformer?
No, that was such. But
okay,
I want to say thank you to Michael Bay for showing so many awesome shots of Megan Fox's goodies.
What about Transformer balls?
That was hilarious, John. Come on,
you're going to hell for this. You don't realize that.
He's following the character that he's taken on tonight. Everything to do with balls and nudity,
yes.
He's okay with.
Yes. But he's going. He says this no. But when he goes to heaven and finds out that God likes movies, and has it that known that he said Transformers was good because of Megan Fox. Do you know that there's naked pictures of her on the internet? You can see her scantily clad whenever you want to. You don't have to watch a terrible movie to see that. I can send it to our website.
You don't. You don't have to watch Jennifer's body.
Andrew, come on.
Pictures. All right.
No. Let me say, I don't like Transformers 2 at all, but I like the first one.
Yeah, well,
the first one is okay.
It's a masterpiece compared to the second one.
It's the Godfather.
Oh, my God.
The second one makes it look like the Godfather.
I mean, I had major problems with the first one. I used to tell people that they're wrong about giving it such a high mark. But compared to this one, oh, Lord. I thought Wolverine was going to be the worst summer movie, and I thought that Chun-Li was going to be the worst movie, period.
Chun-Li's awesome.
But Chris, I think Transformers is this close. Like, this close to being worse than Chun-Li.
Jennifer's body beats it.
No. There's no way. That's impossible.
I'm still
is there a montage of her growing from a black girl into a white Chinese?
What?
Because that's what was in Chun-Li. She was a Chinese baby that grew to this white woman. So unless Jennifer's body has a black baby growing into Megan Fox, there's no way. You can't be that bad. Oh.
But it has a lesbian makeout scene.
Again, the internet.
I remember, you know what I remember? What was this movie? It was Blue, Powder Blue. It was this direct-to-video movie with Jessica Biel.
Oh, Jessica Biel's boobs.
And everyone was talking about it because there's Jessica Biel naked, finally.
Yeah.
And I remember when it was, like, a week before it was coming out on DVD, some dude took the film off the internet, cut it up, and just had the nude moments cut up together and threw it up on all of these streaming sites. And then the DVD tanked in sales, and Jessica Biel came out and said it failed because of that guy who put all the nude shots, which was the only reason people wanted to watch.
And she's right, because that movie's terrible.
That guy's a genius who did that.
I'd like to thank him.
He deserves an Oscar for editing.
Yes.
Well,
okay, Andrew, and what have you seen this week?
This week I rewatched Drunken Master.
Awesome.
The awesome 70s kung fu flick with Jackie Chan.
Why aren't there more kung fu movies? What happened? Is it that we don't import them anymore?
We don't import them. They're all going changing into like Muay Thai. Like, we all get the Ong back and the chocolate.
No, but those are terrible.
Yes, actually. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're trying to shift into this fast action. And the funny thing is that I was watching cable earlier today, and they had on The Legend of the Drunken Master, the sequel that came out in the 90s. Right. And you can see the change. Not only just Jackie Chan getting older, but the fact that, like, in the 70s, you had the slowed down action scenes, and then now you see the same moves. You could literally notice it while he was fighting, especially in the final fight, but it was, like, speeded up to Jet Li and Bruce Lee because of those kind of people who forced into this action can't be slow anymore. You would not hit someone slow. But when you look back at those old kung fu movies with those slow fight scenes, those are still freaking awesome. And they're sometimes even better than the fast-paced ones that they have out today. Mm. Which...
I miss kung fu movies.
And of
I haven't
course,
seen it, so...
You haven't seen Drunken Master?
I don't think you could top up Jackie Chan's tuxedo, you know?
I think this podcast, I'm putting on my headphones. I'm packing it.
Have you guys not seen the tuxedo?
Yes. So good night, everyone. This has been the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Damien signing off. I'm going to go home and cry.
It's hilarious. Come on.
And I think one of my favorite things that I did was I live tweeted this film, and I realized how much Thunderleg, the huge villain in the movie, looked like he had a 70s Asian version of a porno mustache. It was just hilarious.
Wow, that's what you took away from this.
Well, I mean, other than the slow fighting thing.
You're a weird man.
I also saw Michael Mann's, I think it's his first film, I'd have to double check, called Thief.
I have that movie, I still haven't watched it.
With James Caan. Not that good a movie.
Yeah, but this is Andrew's opinion, which I will disregard, start it now.
I mean, as usual with all Michael Mann films, the actual robbery set pieces are pretty cool. But he tends to write these love stories that are just ridiculous.
But didn't you love Public Enemies, and isn't it the same
second viewing? I have this rule about Michael Mann that he requires two viewings, because for some reason I can't get over his, I hate his movies the first time and I love them the second time.
Maybe your brain needs adjustment.
Maybe. And this was true. This was true even for the movie that everyone loves, Heat. I loathed that movie the first time I watched it.
You need to pray that God doesn't watch movies.
the love side of Heat was not handled very well.
The love side in most of his films are not handled very well. It's usually, as they all are, in the man who is, you know, money in pocket, wearing gold watch, sits down with the woman and says, "Look, woman, I like you."
As it should be.
You're my girl.
You are my woman now. Let's go.
Just say it like you're a caveman, you know, that's kind of a man. Just say, "Woman, mine, now." Just grab the boobs.
Yep. It's worked so far for me. I don't understand.
Hey, people are talking now. Guys, you guys come here and do that.
I also saw what I think might just be the best comedy of the year.
Yeah, this year is wrong already.
Funny people.
There's no way it's better than The Hangover. You're already wrong.
Better.
Huh?
I said Funny People is way better than The Hangover.
And The Hangover?
Yep, Hangover is kind of generic and just pretty predictable.
You're very wrong.
Well, as I agree with Jack that it's better, I don't agree with him why.
it's a hilarious movie. I think The Hangover is funny, but I'm just saying it's kind of generic.
The Hangover, as awesome as it is, funny, and oh my goodness, I just had a blow in my brain as I thought
my
that
side
thought.
Still hurts. All the laughter.
Funny People is like how you talk about stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
If you like stand-up comedy, you will love this movie.
No, I expect to like the movie, but I heard that the second half, there's like a switch where they start having some
Heard everybody who's watched the movie talk about the dragged out last 20 minutes of the film. Yes. I disagree with them.
I disagree too.
And it's because it's that last 20 minutes is really the final moment for all of the relationships to be dealt with. All of these tensions that have been built throughout the film. Like,
Done in a funny way?
It's not, and they turn off the comedy more or less for that 20 minutes to deal with it. Because finally, these comedians have to give up on the dick jokes and all the stuff and finally say something real.
Then call it something else. Call it Funny People.
I want to see funny people, not sad people.
Exactly, sad, miserable, lonely bastards. I didn't want to see that movie. I'm still, but Kerb just brought it out like 3 months after it. So the DVD is out next month, I think, according to Amazon. I think I'll wait.
What's funny is Land of the Lost DVD just came out and it's still not there. They're just showing adverts for it to come out in the theater now.
Yeah.
So,
fun times.
That's funny. Another movie which I watched is
one, but you were saying that you didn't agree with Andrew about the last 20 minutes.
No, I said I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And he doesn't agree with all of those other people.
Okay. Yep. So that's why you brought
They're all wrong. Oh. They're wrong.
Backup time.
Andrew's right this time. Come on, guys. He's right.
All
right,
yeah. Law of averages. So, he has to get it right.
So just to get everything on an even keel, Disturbia is better than Rear Window. Moving on.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's not turn to violence, guys. I
need to walk with that knife.
Another movie that I saw this week, because I'm doing the Soderbergh marathon. I finally got around to rewatching Traffic.
Mm. It's about time.
This movie is amazing.
Thank you.
And if you think you want to find out things about Steven Soderbergh, like you've seen, I would assume if anyone's seen a Steven Soderbergh film, they've seen Ocean's 11. If you've seen Ocean's 11 and you're like, this dude kind of looks interesting, go and watch Traffic. This movie might just be his best movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not sure, but I would like to call it now.
I still like 11 better than Traffic.
Ooh,
Ocean's 11?
Wow.
I like it better than, like, Traffic is awesome, you know, but I really, really love Ocean's 11.
I like the Ocean series.
No, I love the Ocean series, but
12, not so much.
I like 12.
No, I like it, but I don't like it as much as...
No, 11 is the best. It's. I think that's
13. De Niro.
De Niro? You mean Pacino?
No, Pacino.
You keep mixing them up.
Yeah, they seem like the same person in my head. Right, Pacino.
They look like guys, so...
I think what I have to do one day... Just because I like to torture Damien, lock him in a room with a TV and make it play Righteous Kill over and over and over again.
That would kill him.
And what would prevent me from killing you before you do that?
I wouldn't tell Damien, you I was doing it.
Damien, your head would explode like it's in a microwave.
I tried to watch that movie. Oh, Lord. I don't think... They'd need to put a bigger delete button somewhere. That's just freaking terrible.
I wish I could have just killed that movie. Get it, guys?
See, puns. That's what I was telling you about. Terrible puns. Now we have them in the podcast. Yes.
One. That's a count.
And that's one.
All right. I guess the rest of them I've written reviews for and posted on the site. Jennifer's Body, I didn't like at all. I haven't watched Solaris yet. I actually don't have that in my list for the marathon.
I
love Solaris.
Might want to skip that one.
No, watch it. It's great.
The next movie in the marathon that I wanted to watch was Shay. I want to watch a Shay films.
One question though. Have you watched the heist movies that I've given you?
Only Rififi.
Okay. So you've decided, Soderbergh's better than all these awesome old movies.
Have you listened to the Rififi episode yet?
No, because you put it up yesterday.
I know.
Did you like the movie? Just tell me no.
We liked it.
Okay, fair enough.
But we had our complaints.
You're all wrong. The movie's freaking perfect.
I really like shit.
Rafifi's so awesome, it's kind of crazy.
Alright, moving on. Since that's all we really watch this week. News that came out this week. It's a rumor going around that Ivan Reitman is being attached to direct Ghostbusters 3. Now, we all know these rumors are bullshit.
Yes.
But let's humor this for the moment. What are your thoughts on Ghostbusters and Ivan Reitman coming to do Ghostbusters 3? Jack, how do you think about this?
I'm scared. I'm very, very scared.
Why is
fear.
This?
Fear, fear. Come on, guys. It's a scary situation.
Why is that so scary?
My super ex-girlfriend, Evolution. What else? What other classic gems has he done in the past?
What do you think of the original Ghostbusters films, 1 and 2?
I love the first one, one of my favorite movies. And then the second one is just meh.
But, and he directed those films, so what's wrong with him coming back to do 3?
Well, he also directed my super ex-girlfriend.
Can't argue with facts, Andrew.
No, but I mean, we all know that this isn't a science film, right? And, I mean, even though we can't promise wonderful, we can say that he hit and he missed, and he's definitely hit well with Ghostbusters. Why not do 3? Right.
But he missed with the second one.
The thing about being a hit and miss director, you need to have the exact same amount where he has more misses. So he's not really a hit and miss director. Do you guys hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm currently going down his IMDb list to see if I can refute.
Are you just in a state of horror seeing some of the movies he's done lately?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, he did Kindergarten Cop. That's an awesome movie.
Right. Actually, I like that movie too, so.
What's Dave? I think I know this movie. I love Dave.
I love Dave.
That's a good movie. I don't think I can vouch for... Oh, he did Stripes, which is one of my favorite 80s Bill Murray comedies.
Yeah, I love Stripes. But that was over 20 years ago.
But in recent years, what has he done?
As Jack mentioned, my super ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
And before that?
Evolution, the Dave Duchovny movie. And 6 Days, 7 Nights, which I don't know.
Have you guys seen that? That's like one of Harrison Ford's worst movies ever.
Yes, I have seen 6 Days and 7 Nights. No, you'll know it when you see the...
Oh, I remember watching some of it. I think I blanked it from
for
my
good
memory.
Reason. Your brain doesn't accept certain nonsense. All right.
You know you're not at the best of your game when you make Harrison Ford look bad.
Yeah.
Like, when I think of this movie, cool. There are only three things specifically I can remember, other than who's in it. There's a scene in a pond or a lake or something with a snake going in the woman's pants. I remember that. And I remember the scene where they're flying up in the air and the thunder is going and they're all saying, "We're going to crash!" And that's
I just kept hoping during that scene Harrison Ford would be like, "Get off my plane!" And
just wrong movie.
My question to you is, how could you have predicted the future, which was over 10 years ago? How could you have predicted that we would have had that line, this now in our lives, to laugh at and be awesome about?
Because it's just so profound and beautiful. Yeah. That's Shakespeare writing, guys. Come on.
Yes, it is. Shakespeare is jealous right now.
Yeah.
But anyways,
you know,
throw go Ivan ahead. Reitman out of the equation. What do you think about Ghostbusters coming back?
No.
No?
They're all old and decidedly less funny.
Don't be an ageist, Damon.
No, I think I will. They're all old. And it will be decidedly less funny. Or they're going to introduce some new character like that Ghostbusters game that came out recently. And the story for that game wasn't that great.
I have the demo on the PS3 downstairs and I played it for like a couple of minutes. It doesn't look that good.
Yeah, the game's okay. It's kind of, but that's besides the point. The story was written by, I think, the same guy,
Harold Ramis,
right? The first one, and it really wasn't that good. Plus, you know, some movies are just best as one-offs, right? He should have made Ghostbusters and just left it alone and moved on. And his recent track record isn't giving me any hope for him doing anything spectacular. So please leave this Ghostbusters thing alone and let's move on to the other story.
Okay.
Well, let me just end it this way. I'm actually okay with the idea of a Ghostbusters 3. I think the series could end on a good note. And if they all really try and Ivan Reitman, you know, does okay, it could be a good movie.
All right. And if I wish really hard, I can win the lotto.
Well, okay.
Oh, okay.
and then you can start getting all of the receiver and stuff.
Yes, yes.
But I will say, you had to fuck up really bad to make Bill Murray, Harold Ramis all seem unfunny, so.
And I think he's just the man to do it.
Did you see My Super Ex-Girlfriend?
Yes, I did.
All right, let's stop it now. Stop. Done. I think we've concluded that
this is a bad idea.
A bad idea, but at the same time, maybe.
No, this is just a bad idea.
Another news item which came out recently was that Ellen Page apparently is writing this new show, Stitch and Bitch, for HBO, doing a pilot for it. It's apparently will follow two painful hipster girls as they relocate from Brooklyn's Williamsburg neighborhood interested. To Los Angeles Silver Lake enclave in hopes of becoming artists. I'm an idiot. So my question is, will Ellen Page ever get rid of the hipster look from Juno?
Yes.
I don't care.
I love Ellen Page, so you guys can suck it.
No, I mean, I love Ellen Page too, and I love Juno. I watched that movie way too much, and I love a lot of the movies she's done, but it seems that Juno is, like, becoming the only thing people want her to do.
Well, I mean, how so? I mean, she's only done like three movies that maybe show that a little bit.
And she did
Smart People.
Obnoxious Assholes. It's a right name of that movie.
No, she wasn't that in Whip It, which I actually liked.
Well, we won't see Whip It until Christmas, Andrew, if we look.
Oh, she's in Inception, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you know me and Chris Nolan doesn't make bad movies.
Yeah.
So.
Did you guys see Hard Candy?
Yes. I love that movie.
I love that. Yeah, I love Douglas doesn't like that movie.
Douglas is wrong.
And yeah, he Douglas bought the DVD.
And stupid. I mean, he had enough good sense to buy the DVD. He's just wrong about the movie.
What he did was he bought it. You remember when the rental store was going out of shop and we would go there and buy DVDs for like $100 each?
Right.
And Jack, before you freak out, the exchange rate currently is 90 Jamaican to one US like dollar.
Dollar.
So
a dollar. More.
Yeah. Just I'm wanted to make sure you didn't go insane.
$100.
But the economy is so good here, guys.
I know.
You don't want to know about our economy. Oh. It's all I have to say.
Our Minister of Finance said that the global economic crisis would not affect us. That's how good we have it here. We've just been sitting on these piles and piles of money.
Let's not get political here tonight. The last thing I want to talk about is politics on this podcast.
All right. What were we talking about? Ellen Page. Right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I mean, like Ellen Page. We don't know that much about it.
Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, we don't really know too much about it to really say anything, but, you know, anything with Ellen Page I'm interested in.
All right. I've seen her. I've liked her in all the movies that I've seen her in, so.
Did you see that movie? Let me see. Tracy Fragments?
Yeah.
No, I heard it's not very good, though.
What did you think of Tracy Ullman's?
It was alright, middling. Almost. It was probably a 5. It was what I expected and nothing more. It didn't do anything special with that movie at all. I know why you like it.
Because Ellen Page is
sad, man.
Why do I like it?
Never mind.
Well, at least it's not because Gerard Butler is naked in it. So
yeah.
That's a reason to like any movie, guys.
Another news item which hit this week was that apparently this Fox is thinking of redoing the story of Moses in the style of 300.
Yeah.
the only way it can be told.
This is water!
I think David has said it. Everything we hope about this film, but Jack, do you have anything to add?
Oh, yeah. I had a dream about this movie the other night. My dream is I want Samuel Jackson to play Moses. And when he's going through the water, I want to see him running across the waves and chopping guys' heads off through one-liners. Like, you know, just being Samuel Jackson. Have an afro, too, as Moses. You know, I think it sounds brilliant.
I can't wait until someone shields one of the Egyptians.
Well, you guys know, in 20 years from now, when you see that version that I just talked about with Samuel Jackson, I directed it.
Yes. I will look forward to it. I just want one scene, right? I just want him to walk up to the water and say, "Part the water!" Like, throw it on the stick.
I want him to stand there and be like, "You shall not pass."
Yep, there. The movie. We're selling this movie to Fox. We're selling this script.
Fox.
Hey, I bet they're listening right now, writing down all my ideas. They're going to steal them.
Oh, my goodness.
This is brilliant, guys.
Do you think that they were calling Frank Miller and say, "What do we need?" He's like, all you need is the green screen and to do the spirit.
Lord, I don't ask you for a lot of things. Please have Frank Miller write this. Please.
Oh.
But seriously, what do you guys think about this idea?
This is terrible. A terrible, terrible idea.
No, what if Ron Emmerich did it? Wouldn't that be sweet?
You're talking about the man who did The Day After Tomorrow.
Yes, and 10,000 BC. And Independence Day.
And Godzilla.
Godzilla!
And he's doing 2012. And I love all of those movies.
Every last one of them. Including 2012.
I've already thought about my love of
2012. But they have explosions, guys.
Exactly. Explosions. He knows what Damien wants to see. He's very good at it.
Damien
very
wants
good at
the world to end.
Destroying shit.
Well, Damien, I don't know.
Why is it that you want the world to end?
No, I just like seeing it in movies. There really aren't that many apocalyptic movies. I mean, ever since Mad Max, I don't know, they probably drew a line in the sand and went, "No, we can't end anything anymore." I mean, there was Escape from New York.
I Am Legend, The Book of Eli.
No, I mean, before Roland Emmerich took up the mantle and said, "I'm going to keep destroying the earth over and over and over." There's just nothing there. There's just stop ending the world, and I don't understand why. These are what movies are for, to give us things that we wouldn't see in real life. That's what I love about movies most. Because I live a boring, monotonous life like everyone else. So why would I pay money to see other people's boring, monotonous life? No, that's not what I want to see. Blow shit up, please. And he does a very good job of it. Even though that second trailer was great. I still think a movie's
going to be
awesome.
To tell the truth, I actually kind of like that second trailer because what it did was it gave me more or less, I know there's more in there, but a whole sequence which looked really cool, and I can't wait
to see him blow up more shit
on a huge screen.
You are correct, sir.
Even though, as you'd like to say right now, I won't be able to because maybe I can pray that they'll get that one in digital.
Yeah,
I think 2012 is going to be fun and like bring them back to like the Independence glory days, Independence Day.
Right. No, I mean, I like Roland Emmerich, but it's not because his stories
are... I don't like him.
No, I like his movies. So,
But it looks like it knows it's stupid, just like Independence Day, exactly. So it could be fun.
So you're saying he's the Uwe Boll?
No, he's nobody.
Not in a bad way, but he just knows what he is, kind of thing.
Yeah. And
no, he didn't know that for 10,000 BC in Godzilla.
I actually really love Godzilla.
Well, that's an argument for another day. But,
10,000 BC, not so much.
2012 just looks like stupid, where it just knows it, where his other movies have not had that feel.
Yeah. Day After Tomorrow, they played it too straight with that one.
Oh, yeah, that one's funny.
Right, so Moses, not a good idea. Prince of Egypt, if you want a good Moses movie, Disney made one back when they were making good movies.
I remember when I went and saw it in the theater. That movie's awesome.
Just to go back to Ron Emmerich real quick, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Right. I love that movie, and it's a great spoof off those movies.
I hear that movie's surprisingly good. Most people
it's hilarious.
Like,
well, it's
we'll,
hilarious.
No, that's a movie that we'll probably get.
We got it.
Oh,
we had it already in digital 3D.
And it went, oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'll wait for the DVD, as per usual.
And I'm hoping and praying I can figure out some way to find out more about this Toy Story thing that I saw on the thing.
Yeah.
Is there any other news you guys saw this week you want to mention before we move on into trailers?
Nope.
No? Okay. In trailers this week, whoa, we're moving through fast. Yep. Toy Story 3 finally got a trailer.
Yes! It's about time, Pixar. Stop dragging your feet.
Don't you get it? We're finished. Obsolete. Over the hill.
Now, come on, guys. We all knew this day was coming.
We're getting thrown away?
No, no one's getting thrown away.
We ain't ever getting played with.
Hold on. This is no time to be hysterical.
It's the perfect time to be hysterical.
Should we be hysterical?
Now!
Yes! Maybe, but not right now.
Come on. Let's see how much we're going for on eBay.
New toys!
I'm gonna get played with!
Where's my nose?
Here it is.
Here's your arm.
Give me that. That's
honey,
mine.
The mustache.
We're busting out of here.
One, three.
One.
Three.
Whoa!
To infinity and beyond.
To reset your Buzz Lightyear, insert paperclip.
Rex, use your finger.
Did you fix Buzz?
Bitácora espacial.
Sort of.
Oh no.
Oh yes. Return of the Astronaut.
Oh, Damien, you start out with this one.
I didn't see any of the Toy Story movies for years, and then you guys berated me for not doing so. Because I may have said that I didn't like one of the Toy Stories. And I was swiftly smacked in the face. And I went home and dusted off my cassette. No, I'm joking. I got a hold of these movies. And they are indeed awesome. Apparently Pixar knew what they were doing from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time for the third one. I saw the trailer. I really like the trailer. I like Spanish Buzz Lightyear. I can see a lot of jokes coming out of Spanish Buzz. This is going to be good. I feel confident with this one. This one is going to be special.
Jack, your thoughts on this new trailer?
It looked really good. I mean, I actually saw both the Toy Stories last week on the double feature, and I love those movies. And it looked really cool, you know, just as good as the first one.
Oh, I recently rewatched the first two Toy Story films, and I realized how much awesomer the sequel is to the original. And that's not to say a bad thing to the first movie, because I mean that movie is still great, right? It's it's like talking about The Godfather 1 and 2. Everyone knows they're awesome movies, but when you have to compare them, for once you can say the sequel was better.
You know what I didn't like though?
What?
What's the girl cowboy in Toy Story 2?
I loved her! What the hell?
She was a bitch.
Character, and I love seeing her. I can't remember the name.
Let me get this straight.
Andrew, what was she? She was like the bitch.
I like Gerard Butler naked.
And loves male genitalia.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
know, if there was an animated Gerard Butler naked in that, it would have been awesome.
The girl is Jessie, the yodeling cowgirl, and the voice is Joan Cusack.
Oh, she's awesome, but the character was a bitch.
Wow.
I think I have no more words right now. I'm speechless.
Well, and another problem is that she's kind of a tramp, as you will, because she takes Woody away from Miss Bo Peep. So she's kind of a slut, if you will.
She doesn't take him away from Bo Peep.
Are you serious?
She does not.
He was all over Bo Peep, and then when he goes away, he's all with this, you know, bitch cowgirl all of a sudden.
Actually, in this
post... Am I the only one who noticed?
In this post in justpressplay.net that I linked you to, and I'll put it in the show notes so people can... Where they dissected the trailer. Someone actually said that, and I didn't recognize it when I was watching the trailer, that you don't see Bo Peep in the trailer for Toy Story 3.
Yeah, so maybe Woody killed off Bo Peep so he can be with the cowgirl.
I guess the simplest solution is that maybe he threw her out. He got sad. He didn't. While he was growing up, he wanted to keep Buzz Lightyear and Woody, but didn't want to keep Bo Peep as he was growing up.
Wait, can I throw in another movie idea for the third movie?
What's that?
I want to have a flashback scene in the new movie where there's Woody and the cowgirl getting on, and then Bo Peep shows up. And then Woody just, like, throws her out the window or something.
The cowgirl?
Wow. Yeah, no, Bo Peep. Like, Bo Peep catches up doing the dirty deed. So Woody decides to kill Bo Peep.
But then you have some issues, sir.
But he feeds her to her sheep.
Wow.
It's a kid's movie idea, guys.
I'm becoming very uncomfortable.
Jack, I'd like to say that I need you to write all these ideas down and pitch them to Pixar right now.
No, hand them in.
Oh, it's been done, Andrew, for years. They won't call me back, but I think it's going to happen.
Maybe Michael Bay can produce it under Platinum Dunes as a horror film.
That's not funny.
That's not funny. But this trailer is amazing. As you said, Spanish Buzz Lightyear. The only thing that I'm kind of weirded out about, even though I love the idea of them now moving into the...
Toy store.
Not the toy store, it's a daycare. I feel kind of weird in throwing in more characters to the film, because from Toy Story 1 to 2, the new characters, and I'll ignore Jack as he tries to tell me I'm wrong, were awesome. As in Jesse, the cowgirl.
Oh, bitch.
Stinky the prospector, the guy was played by Kelsey Grammer.
Right.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And the dog was pretty cool for the scenes that he was there.
Yeah, he was, I guess.
Right, so,
but I don't know, like, I'm worried if they throw in too many characters, because now you're going to have a whole full daycare filled with toys already.
You're worried about Pixar? Really, Andrew? Who's your favorite movie studio?
Pixar.
And you're worried why?
Wait, no. My favorite movie studio is A Band Apart.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh.
Right.
Because that is Tarantino's.
Thank you, Andrew. Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Alright, and of all the Pixar movies, which ones don't you like again?
Cars.
Okay. Yep.
And you're worried about Pixar. Why? It's Pixar.
Because Cars suck.
You're both wrong, but that's not the point.
What, Cars doesn't suck?
It doesn't suck. It's not great, but it doesn't suck. I like Cars. And the children, they also like Cars. You know what they didn't like?
The Finding Nemo?
No, they didn't like Wall-E or Bored to Death.
I like Bored to Death.
That's an awesome show.
Guys, have pun. Attention span of a flea.
Get a move on. No, we're not moving on. We're talking about... No, all right, moving on. another trailer that hit this week. Me and Orson Welles.
This is the story of one week in my life. It was the week I fell in love. The week I would make my Broadway debut.
What the hell is it now?
And the week I would meet Orson Welles.
John, this kid's gonna play Lucius. Will you work for nothing?
Orson!
Quiet, I'm negotiating.
Orson's very competitive, very self-centered.
This stage is where history is being written.
Very brilliant.
Okay, listen, people. Nail your words to the back wall, and that goes for the rest of you. Consonants, consonants, consonants. And don't forget the vowels.
Don't criticize him. Ever.
No, sir, there are more with him.
Not more with him. More with him. This is Shakespearean verse we're speaking.
I know my lines.
And I say you need more time.
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron. And
he's so dreamy, guys.
I used to hate him until that damn movie.
You know what I found funny? Earlier today, I saw a post on worstpreviews.com where Zac Efron.
Yes.
I just had a... as I was trying to say his name. Where he was talking about how this movie, Me and Orson Welles, is finally the first movie that he is proud of. He's not proud of
17 Again.
17 Again, or
Andrew. He's not proud of High School Musical.
Or High School Musical.
What's like, not there to be proud of?
Like we spoke about this when we got around to watching 17 Again. How we finally found a reason to like him, kind of.
Yeah.
But now, with him saying this, I like him even more because I know what I thought in my heart, that High School Musical was a paycheck and not
Andrew,
and not a career.
Andrew, hold on. You thought...
You never... Raven Simone.
I think she knows. I don't think she's talking... she's pretty aware that no one is going to hire her to do anything else. And she's comfortable with her situation. I'm pretty sure she doesn't think that what she's doing is phenomenal work, and she should be nominated for Oscars.
Oh yeah, it's the pinnacle of television, guys.
I'll tell you.
You know,
which is why I've stopped watching TV. It's part of the reason.
Anyways, moving into this trailer. I love this trailer. I think this movie looks really awesome, and particularly Christian McKay, who plays Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even though I didn't like Citizen Kane, I have seen...
Whoa.
Yeah, again, Andrew, please. Look, I deal with this week to week. You know, you just look past...
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Andrew, you like the Saw movie, but you don't like Citizen Kane?
First of all, I'd like to make a small correction there because it may have slipped my ear, but did you say that I like the Saw movies or I like Saw?
Saw.
Okay, yeah, alright, that's fine.
Yep. I win.
Oh, Lord.
No, I didn't say you win.
Shut up.
I win.
Why do I do a podcast with you? I don't understand.
Dude, sick girl.
Like Casablanca.
No, I love Casablanca. Oh, what the hell? No, I bought the DVD. I love that movie. I watched it like 3 times already. Don't you dare blaspheme. Next thing you'll be saying that I don't like Pulp Fiction and I'll have to stab you.
Just to get back on topic, do you guys like Richard Linklater? Or however you say his name?
Richard Linklater, I've seen only a few of his films and what I've seen I do like.
Yep.
Yeah, same here. Just to echo Andrew's last comment.
Dazed and Confused and A Scanner Darkly.
Dazed and Confused, which I have to say I like, but I don't like as much as Before and After Sunset.
Ah, yeah, those are really good.
It's really Before Sunrise and Before Sunset I mix it up. And I really like, but I know it's not as good as anything we just mentioned, School of Rock.
Yeah, I really enjoy School of Rock.
Similarly to Mr. Efron, I hated Jack Black until School of Rock.
And then you got to hate him all over
again.
But there's also High Fidelity.
Did he do High Fidelity?
Yeah, he was one of the clerks.
I thought you meant Richard Linklater.
No, we're talking about Jack Black.
I remember Jack Black, yeah.
Keep going.
But I think it actually looks pretty good, and I actually like Zac Efron in Hairspray, which I like.
Was he in Hairspray?
Oh, yeah, he was in Hairspray.
Was he in Hairspray? Was he the main guy?
No.
He was the good guy.
Kids.
He was the hot one.
Right. He was one of the kids that, like, the adult, the fat chick. The fat young girl.
Oh, now you're just being cruel.
She was fat. I did love Hairspray. That was an awesome movie.
Yeah, that was surprisingly good. But, so I just think, you know, I think Zac Efron has potential, and, you know, if now that he's out of the shit High School Musical movie, so you can show yes chops.
Yeah, I think he will go the route of what's his name?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, I wasn't even thinking of DiCaprio. I was thinking of LaBeouf, who went through the Disney and then came out
Enzo Transformers.
An Indy 5.
An Eagle Eye.
An Indy 4.
Indy 5. He's done wonderful work, Andrew.
Did you see Eagle Eye? Bro.
Did you see Disturbio?
Yes. Yes, we did see Disturbio.
No, Shia LaBeouf is awesome, so...
You keep telling yourself that maybe one day it will come.
I've liked him in Transformers too.
I'm sure you did.
You're a good actor.
No, right. He just stood out because he was actually doing some acting.
All right, hold on. Let's kill all of this side talk. Damien, what do you think of this trailer, me and Orson Welles?
I still don't like Zac Efron that much. I kept seeing him like and I kept remembering High School Music. I was just waiting for him to like break out into song and dance, so I was watching the trailer.
Well, they are doing a play, so maybe there is a song and dance
stop
in
it,
there somewhere.
Please, I did like 17 again, but one movie isn't enough to redeem him from years of High School Musical.
But it's something to get you like... thinking about it.
I mean, the trailer wasn't bad, but I couldn't get it out of the back of my mind. Every time I saw him,
Zac Efron is definitely one of those people that you want to hate because of his High School Musical.
Exactly.
And now that you see him doing other stuff, you're like, do I hate him?
Why is this High School Musical dude getting worse? Shouldn't he be doing another High School Musical? What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
But. Well, I did like 17 again, so I'll give this a chance eventually.
What were you saying, Jack?
It has Claire Danes, who I like.
Yeah, I liked her. She was in Stardust. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movie's so awesome.
Yeah, it is. I love that movie.
I'm just looking on Zac Efron's IMDb page, and it says in pre-production he is going to star in Johnny Quest.
Oh, okay. Wait. Look at the director, though. Because I remember him being someone who's kind of a hack.
They have Andy Fickman, who I don't know who that is.
Look to see what movies he did. I know he's done shit.
Race to Witch Mountain.
Yep, he sucks.
And The Game Plan.
Yep.
And She's the Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so much potential for this, guys.
Yeah.
And guess who's playing Race Baddon in this film?
The Rock! Yes!
Oh.
Anyways,
I really want to love The Rock, but God.
Did you see the Tooth Fairy trailer?
Yes.
Yes.
I have a guilty pleasure, and it is the movies with The Rock. I don't know, there's something about
it. I still haven't seen Race to Witch Mountain.
It's really not that great. I'll not tell anyone to watch any of his movies, but I do enjoy them.
Wait, did you guys see The Rundown?
Yes. The Rundown is the reason why I started watching movies with The Rock. Because I just assumed he was going to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin and like John Cena. He was going to come in terrible movies. But he did The Rock. He did The Rundown.
And then he was so amazing in Doom.
And The Mummy appearance was not welcomed. And then he did The Scorpion King. Wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Oh, I thought that was terrible.
And, again, as bad as I thought it was, not meaning very good.
I think what's funny about
The
Scorpion
King... And then the rest
King,
of his movies were...
The Scorpion King is
movies.
All about how I remember watching it. At that time, when I saw it, I was working at this summer camp. I was working there. And I remember the guy who was running it was talking to me, and he was saying that he wanted to do like a movie day on Friday.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I can bring you some movies. And I was like, he was like, you know, can't bring our movies because, you know, children. And I'm like, all right.
So no Requiem.
No Requiem. And I brought The Bourne Identity. I was like, that's PG-13. I would let children watch it. It is. And then some dude brought the Scorpion King. And
you mother.
And he was like, yup, we're watching that. And my goodness, was that hilarious to watch.
Kids love that movie. And I love that movie.
But as I'm looking down The Rock's IMDb page, I have to laugh and remember why I shouldn't like him. In that there are 20 listings of WWE and WWF between every film that he's done.
It's like I wrestle, Just in case you guys were wondering, Taylor wrestled. And wrestling is the worst sport since
curling. That's not a sport.
Curling, if so curling is a sport, wrestling is
no,
a sport.
No, it can't be a sport because it's fixed.
What?
Curling is a sport.
Curling is not fixed.
Curling is not a sport.
Or at least I'd like to think curling isn't fixed, because I had a bet down last week and I lost.
You didn't watch the spread. Should have covered the spread.
You guys just crushed my dreams. I thought wrestling was real.
Have you watched The Wrestler?
Oh, yeah.
And that didn't tell you already that it was fixed?
Yeah, just in case you didn't realize.
But that's a movie.
You thought they were making it all up. Okay.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, it's fixed. Stop watching wrestling. It's
Wait,
shit.
So my dad's been lying to me for almost 20 years.
When he took you to that match 5 years ago and you thought it was your biggest dream, it's fixed.
Freddie Prinze Jr. writes the scripts for some of those wrestling. Some of the wrestling. When I found that out, I smiled. Oh, this is awesome. No, not really.
Wow.
So what other trailer are we seeing now that we've berated The Rock and that hack director?
Now that we've gotten off all these side talk.
Spoken 3 seconds about the trailer.
And I like this trailer. The next trailer I want to talk about was Uncertainty, this new film with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
500 Days of Uncertainty.
Is today the day?
I don't know.
I want this to be something we're doing, not something we're not doing.
I'm afraid of deciding.
Actually, he's already here.
Get out of there. You're in danger. Take the phone and get out of there.
This is the time for a toast.
You didn't say anything to anybody, did you? Does Bobby know yet?
Yeah, it's been 11 weeks.
Oh, my God.
So we're not saying anything.
You're not showing. Nobody can tell. I can't tell.
I just feel like I'm lying to everybody who loves me, and it feels wrong.
What do you want to do?
Jack, what do you think of this trailer?
It looks pretty, kind of stupid and pretty mediocre. But, you know, it has a Cobra Commander, and I love me Cobra Commander.
Cobra! By the way, I did love him as Cobra Commander.
He was so good.
What I find kind of odd about this film is that it looks like Eagle Eye with a pregnant lady.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like a love movie, but with Eagle Eye.
Wow.
And I can tell you how this movie's going to end already. How it's going to end is that whoever is after this telephone is going to catch up with them, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's going to jump in front of a bullet to save his unborn child. And then at the end, you'll see a shot of the child in the house with the woman and the picture of Joseph Gordon-Levitt on the mantle, and the movie ends.
No. It's going to end with him throwing the cell phone away and then being okay.
Do you know, you just made me think of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
You guys are both wrong. He's just going to walk into a tunnel and get poor reception and throw it away. They'll never be able to find him.
I hope that's a scene in the movie where he has no reception. He's like, oh shit, and then he's shot.
That reminds me of Mission Impossible 3. You remember that scene when he's coming out of the place with the rabbit's foot, and right. It's like 5 minutes until the hour is over, and he has to call Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's in the middle of China, mm-hmm. and he can't get any cell reception, and they're driving through, and he's like, fuck, I can't get reception, while people are shooting at them.
I hope that happens.
Me too, oh my word.
But yeah, it doesn't look very good, but you know, again, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so I'll see it.
Another person who's in this film probably looks like a minor role, but I really like her, and I want to see more things with her in it, is Olivia Thirlby.
Oh, I love her. I see her. No,
she was awesome. The best friend in Juno.
Oh,
and she was in Snow Angels.
I know who you're talking about.
Right. And she was in The Wackness.
Love The Wackness.
Hate that movie.
I like that.
Yeah, I like it. And she's in Bored to Death.
Yes, she is.
Could we stop talking about Bored to Death?
No, because you have to watch it.
What we've been watching sexual.
Wow. Oh, so I guess we're all around saying don't watch this movie.
No, it could be good. I mean, there's
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So.
There've been good movies from bad trailers.
Like,
listen to me. I'm telling you that
apparently Paranormal Activity. By the way,
oh, that's pretty
talking.
Good. It's pretty good. Actually.
I am so that's surprised. True. Like
awful.
like right now, I think I said right now. I feel like all I can be is disappointed with this film whenever I do get to watch it. Because I mean, I saw the trailer and I realized this movie looks like shit. Yes, and does. Then all the reviews came out, exactly. And everyone is giving it 5 out of 5 reviews.
And then I'm going to sit and watch it and go. And you guys are assholes.
But
it's going to be Dollhouse all over again.
The what problem with Paranormal Activity is that it has all the characters acting like idiots, like most horror movies.
And I think the worst thing about it is the money thing is what people are talking about, because
yeah,
it cost them like what $1,000 to make
$11,000
and a pack of cigarettes.
They just bought the camera and he put it in his room and then he blew on the cheat. And then
CG.
and then. In limited release, it made already 20 times its budget. And then it's come out in major release in the States, and now it's made like billions of dollars.
It's made a few million.
Yeah.
I think Kajillion,
which is insane.
The term you're looking for.
Well, it's a pretty good movie, you know.
Don't believe you.
It's a horror film. We can't
it's
like
a horror
it.
Film.
It's not even that bloody, though.
Whoa. The problem I have with that movie is that it looks a lot like. In order for you to like it, you have to buy into the fact that this is actually happening.
Well, it's a movie.
No, but I mean, with certain movies, like, you can look at it and laugh and know this is fake. But it's like posing as reality. And I mean, movies movies do go for realism today. But Blair Witch, it tells you this is real. It's not even pretending.
Well, you'll laugh at that part. You know, that just adds to the entertainment.
And that's my main problem. But I think we were talking about something with Joseph Gordon-Levitt a while ago.
He's in Paranormal Activity, didn't you guys know?
Oh, wow, well, that dude is getting into everything now.
Cobra is in Paranormal Activity.
Can I just say one quick thing about Paranormal Activity?
What's that?
Someone asked me what it's about, and the best way to sum it up is a woman versus demon. But guess who wins, guys? Guess who wins?
If that was the tagline, this movie would be out of
business. So you mean it's Drag Me to Hell?
But that's exactly what I sum it up. Guess who wins?
If at the start of the trailer, all they had was like a flash of this woman, then a black screen with verses, and then a demon. But awesome. And that's it. See Paranormal Activity. This is awesome.
Oh. Well, that's special.
And we're transitioning into
our feature review this week of the new straight to video film Trick or Treat.
This is the one night that all sorts of things roam free. Sorry. All these traditions.
Wait.
What?
You're supposed to keep it lit.
Why?
Ancient tradition?
Putting on costumes.
I look like I'm 5.
You look great.
What did we do now?
We meet our dates.
Jack-o'-lanterns.
Why are we here?
To pay our respects to the dead?
The Halloween school bus massacre.
They've started to protect us, but...
What in God's name are you doing down there?
Hiding bodies?
Nowadays, no one really cares.
This one's the lit.
Yep.
Back
to Paranormal Activity, guys.
Woman versus demon all over.
I want to start with Damien because
why are you
because it's a horror
Damien?
Film and you've made it very clear
that all horror films suck.
Yeah.
And my stance remains unchanged despite this movie being awesome.
Right? Yes,
this movie falls into the law of averages category. Cannot make a billion horror movies and not have one be good. And this one is really good.
I just like to interject for a moment and tell people about this. Like every week, we all take turns to decide who picks what movie we review.
Right.
And this week it was my week to pick a movie.
Andrew, and I emailed picks shitty movies.
I emailed Damien and I was like, "We're gonna do Trick or Treat." And then within 5 minutes, he responded and said, "Why the fuck is a horror film?
Why are we reviewing a horror movie?"
And then I had to spend like 5 pages worth of beggings to get Damien to watch this movie.
And just like, I saw it for a long time, but I thought we should. Like, why are we reviewing a horror movie?
And we are
and
here
we
today.
Already established the fact that all these movies are terrible.
We are here today. With Damien admitting he likes a horror movie.
But of course, the law of averages still does work. Proves if you try a thing, you know, you'll get it right eventually. And the reason I like this movie...
We're going to have a spoiler section, by the way. So.
The reason I like this movie is because it took all of the normal horror trappings, all of the situations. It took all of them and it gave you all of them and it set all of them up. And so you think you know what's going to happen, and then they do a complete 180 on whatever it is you thought was going to happen. And they do it consistently. That is the thing that pushed me over the edge with why I think this movie is awesome. And they did something that more horror movies need to do, which is get good actors. It helps when the people who are in the movie, you believe for a second that they are actual people. The acting is good. The direction is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The ending is so good. And how they tell the story. Like But the thing is, though, this movie isn't really that scary. I know it falls in the horror genre, but I wasn't really scared at any point.
I think there were like one or two points where I did jump a bit. But it's nothing...
There aren't that many jump scares, and they do it on purpose because they didn't want to go down that road, clearly. And... The evil dude, whatever the hell his name is.
Sam, the little thing with the sack on his head, Sam.
Is one of the best villains I've seen
in
such a long time. I'm so grateful for this movie. I know I'm horrified because they can't make another movie like this. Because the second I see anything similar to this, I'm going to think back to this movie. And it's just going to seem played out. Because there's not that many different horror situations that they can set up and do a 180 on. They pretty much did like 80% of all the horror scenarios that they you can come up with. So, I'm sorry for all you other people making horror movies. You need to head down the orphanage route or you're screwed.
You just got bitch slapped for the directors.
And I see why they didn't want to release this movie because it was going to bitch slap, as you said, all the other horror movies that have been coming out. This movie's awesome.
You saw Drag Me to Hell, right?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that?
Yeah.
Movie was fun. But again, like this, it wasn't that scary.
Okay, I was just checking. I love this movie for so many reasons. Like, it's one, number one is that there are not many, like, in America, October is Halloween. Halloween isn't a Jamaican thing. We don't celebrate Halloween.
Is only an American
thing. Yeah.
Because they're stupid and fat.
They want more candies. But I have watched a lot of films, horror films. And I mean, people love to have all these horror marathons as October is going. But there are not many horror films I've seen which are specifically talking about Halloween. And I think this movie is so amazing.
Except Halloween.
Actually, you know what the movie I think of whenever I think of a Halloween film is Hocus Pocus.
Wow.
That movie's hilarious.
I remember watching that when I was like 10 years old. And
there's something truly wrong with your brain.
But anyways, back to what I was saying. And what I think is amazing is that it tries to... I don't know how correct it is with any mythology that is out there.
It's Halloween.
But it tries to give some reasoning to a lot of things that people do during Halloween and why they are tradition. Like, for example, the jack-o'-lanterns, the costumes, the this, the that. However, the one thing that I ask myself about Halloween and why that works, right? Because they say people wear costumes because you want to disguise yourself as one of the demons because they are out there preying on children, right? Mm-hmm. Then why do people dress up as Little Bo Peep and Andrew, which demon looks like Little Bo Peep?
And that bitch cowgirl from Toy Story 3.
let me explain this to you as Louis Black explained to me, right? Halloween is for children, right? Because children want to dress up all the time. And you have to go, nope, today is the day. You only get one day, can dress up as whatever you want. Halloween is not for adults. Because as an adult, you can dress up whenever you want. You wake up tomorrow and want to be Batman. Go for it.
Except you look psychopathic when you do it as an adult.
Right? Halloween is a harvest holiday, and you guys don't harvest shit.
Okay. But yeah, that was just a little pet peeve that I was thinking of while watching this film. So basically, this movie is about Halloween, and it's four separate stories that happen on the same night. And I have to say, my favorite story has to be Sookie Stackhouse. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, it's Anna Paquin.
I disagree.
What's your favorite story out of the four, Damien?
The last guy.
Oh, Sam.
Brian Cox.
Brian Cox and Sam.
Oh my god, it was so good.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Jack. I was about to hand it over to you.
I just want to say, I've been quoting the line, "It smells like a dead whore out here." So whenever I have like the greatest opportunity to make someone feel uncomfortable, I say that line.
I should start using it.
Like a dead whore. Andrew, tomorrow or whenever you guys go to work, make sure you just shout that when you get to work.
Up until that point, the movie was, because they started out the movie like a regular horror movie.
Paul Ballard,
right? You didn't really get the sense that they were going to take it in this direction. So when he came out and he said that, I'm like, oh, that's really funny. And like I saw, like, the actors in there, I'm like, still, this is just a horror movie. They're not really doing anything special. And then the movie just kicked it into high gear, and it never looked back from there. This movie's great. But Jack, you haven't really, apart from saying that it smells like a dead movie, you haven't said your feelings about this movie.
So, what do you think?
I'm pretty much with you guys. I love this movie, and I love it for what Andrew was saying, how it's one of the first movies that really plays with the Halloween mythology, because we haven't seen that before. So that was interesting, and all the acting's good, you know? It's not shitty acting like Zac Efron in High School Musical. You know, it's good actors, you know? Like Brian Cox and Anna Paquin,
yep,
who's also really hot, too, so just to say that.
And also Dylan Baker, who I think...
Oh, he's hilarious.
...was one of the best actors in the film.
Yeah. He's great. And Damien was saying how it's not really scary, but I think it's more intended to be a comedy.
Right.
And it reminds me, I don't know if you guys seen An American Werewolf in London.
I have.
I wanted to watch it before the podcast, but I never got around to it.
All right. That's one of my favorite movies, but it's similar to that. You know, it's just kind of more of a comedy, but filled with like some good, really good gore stuff, but nothing too excessive and just not very scary, but just really fun horror.
Right. One of the things that strike me in this film was a lot of the play, the twist play in each story.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, as I said, my favorite story was the Sookie Stackhouse. Then came I don't even know if I want to rank these two over each other, because I like Sam, but I love the story with Dylan Baker.
Oh,
yeah.
Dylan Baker, okay. With him and the pumpkins, and right. like just that scene with, I don't want to say what he's doing yet because I want to get this into spoilers, but when Brian Cox eventually says it smells like a dead horror, that scene, what he's doing then, is just so awesome. And the Sam scene is really great, and then comes the children.
The children.
Like, when that children story came up and they started, the girl starting telling the tale of the bus, like, I started to feel, like, worrying that it was going to fall into some trouble in pacing and everything. Not just
generic.
Into generic.
Generic horror tropes.
And just to say something real quick on the kids in this movie, I've actually heard that may be a reason why Warner Brothers was hesitant to release it. Because, you know, this movie... Are we in spoilers or...
No, we hold off for a little bit more and then we can get into spoilers.
Okay, I'm just going to say it deals partially with the kids in the movie, why it might have not got released, but I'll talk about that more later.
But I mean, there are tons of R-rated films all over the place that don't deal with crazy
stuff. It wasn't graphic. So I don't see why... I don't know.
Like, what? I mean, I don't know how a studio can't see this film as financially viable.
I'm not in the biz.
Well, remember, Warner Brothers, they're very conservative in some ways. You know what I mean?
Warner Brothers. Like, are these the same people who released Watchmen?
Yeah, but even he had a problem with Zack Snyder said he wanted Madeline Ackerman to be smoking, and then Alan Horn doesn't like smoking in movies. So
well, fair enough.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can see people making consolations as you move along. But the film that we see today, I don't think this is a film that would offend or do anything wrong that any other film doesn't do.
Because children shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah,
it's a horror movie.
Yeah. And just to add on to the Warner Brothers thing, I think it's funny they release something as stupid as Orphan, but they don't release this.
Exactly. But this, I cannot understand. Like, this movie is so good. Yeah. I guess that's the real problem. It was just too good.
They were like, we can't
do that. Like,
what is this, a good horror movie? This can't be true.
The movie is terrible. And it keeps making films. We need a terrible horror movie. Why didn't you bring back a good horror movie?
What is wrong with you guys?
And don't you guys understand? One? Did you know that Bryan Singer had something to do with this film? I think he was a producer.
Yeah. Well, because Mike Doherty, he wrote the X-Men movies and Superman. He was co-writer on those.
Proving it again. Bryan Singer is always right.
Yeah. All right. I think we can just go into spoilers now so we can talk about like our favorite.
They kill lots of people.
So if you haven't seen Trick or Treat yet.
Get off your ass.
Go and watch it. I rented it from my place and I am already ready to buy the Blu-ray because I want to keep this film.
Yeah.
Go and see it and then come back and listen to us mention more things we love because we love this movie.
What? You are the most deaf.
Jack, yep. What is your favorite moment in this film?
Smells like a dead whore.
All right.
What is your second favorite
moment? Smells like a dead whore.
The second time they say it smells like a dead whore.
But in all honesty, the Brian Cox story was my favorite because it's basically like a Christmas story. I mean, not a Christmas. What's the one coming out with Robert Zemeckis and Jim Carrey?
It's A Christmas Tale.
Or Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it's like that, but with a horror mix thrown in, like the old guy in his house on like the holiday and then basically being terrorized. That's what I kind of liked about it. And Brian Cox, he's just so good.
Yes, he is.
I do love me some Brian Cox.
I like when he shot the thing.
Oh yeah, and then you just hear that cartoon noise like
you know what kind
and then
of
the hand stabbed him.
You know what kind of slightly disappointed me in that whole thing? When the mask came off. What I was slightly disappointed in
what it was. You wanted it to be a little boy, actually.
I don't know.
A little boy get shot, Andrew? Come on.
You wanted to see a small boy be shot.
And then I would be okay with Warner Brothers telling me they didn't want to release it.
I would have actually preferred it was a little boy, too.
Like, I mean, it just looked a little bit too funny. Like, I thought it was just...
Yeah, the mask, the face, whatever, the pumpkin.
The mask was scary enough by itself.
And
that wasn't enough to take anything.
No, it wasn't
from this movie.
Just a little peeve is all I'm saying.
When he bit the candy and the guy was on the floor and then he used it to stab the other chocolate.
Yeah.
I went, this is the most awesome movie.
That plays into another mythology thing about it, about why they give out candy.
Yeah.
And then he walked away and, you know, he got himself bandaged up and he thought he was all right.
Yeah.
He was, like, waving to everybody. I'm like, oh, so
he's all right.
And then right at the end, bam! And they just cut, they just show what happened to him in the comic book credit reel. I mean, from start, from this movie is just so good. I can't,
wait,
I
still can't can I say something real quick about the ending?
Go ahead.
Because that's actually kind of where my only nitpick stemmed from. I kind of felt like it was a bunch of alternate endings thrown all together. Do you guys think that at all, or no?
No, I've not seen that. Why?
How do you mean?
It feels like it's a bunch of different endings thrown on together.
Well, I mean, it is four different stories melded together. So it's not one. Like, you're not going to get one resolute ending.
Yeah, but it just kind of felt like it was rushing to like have a resolution for each storyline.
Not really.
Well, it's like I didn't even think it was necessary to have those kids pop up at his house.
No, but they.
Yeah, I do think if that didn't happen, it wouldn't have taken away from the film at all.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the film. It's
but I think mythic, what it did was what everyone wanted in an ending that it gave you is that it answered the question that he was the driver.
He was the driver.
Well, there's actually little hints that you can know that because he has this like. Have you guys watched it twice yet? Or?
No, I've only watched it once, and I didn't realize it until the kids came.
Right.
That's yeah, the second time I did, because when he got out, number one, the driver gets out of the pool, the water.
Right. Yeah?
You see he has that scar, just like Brian Cox's character in his wheezing, too.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention
I didn't
to that.
Realize that.
Like, I knew that the driver was time, out there, because so. He escaped, but I didn't... Like, I wasn't paying attention to the Brian Cox character that much. But I kind of realized that he was the driver at the end.
When the kid showed up.
No, like just before when he stabbed the chocolate and walked away and he got himself bandaged up and you saw the little girl, the witch girl, and you saw the other girls in the car drive past. I just kind of, I'm like, oh, so that guy had to be the only reason that he'd attack him. Was if he was the driver of the bus, is the only thing that makes sense. And then when the kids showed up, I said, yeah, I guess I was right, because the kids came and they sought him out. But, I mean, the ending, I enjoyed the ending. The Suki Stackhouse.
I love that.
I
think it kind of played a little, my love played a little to the fact of True Blood.
Right.
Because it was...
I just loved how it was set up, because, you know, in all those terrible horror movies, the first time when you see the hot chicks, you know right away all the whores in the group going to die and Suki's going to live. And then when the vampire bit her, I'm like, oh, come on.
I was like, where's Bill?
And then I saw the dude fall out the tree and I went, what?
And then like, by the way, I love how the werewolf came out with the stripping
so
off
cool.
The skin. That looks so awesome.
Yeah, and with the Marilyn Manson song.
Oh, wait.
That made Gamer look so bad with how it used the song.
Oh, yes. I was asking Damien this before the podcast. That song, it's Marilyn Manson?
Yeah, Sweet Dreams or whatever it's called.
That's the same song that was in Gamer.
Yeah, and Gamer didn't use it as cool as the trailer did.
Well, nothing in Gamer was cool.
Yeah,
Legacy Hall is pretty cool.
Ah, fair enough.
I really like that song, and I want to get that song. So, no, thank you. I need to find that song.
Yeah. Just a quick question, though. Remember where the first scene where you see Dylan Baker as, like, the vampire, pretending to be the vampire?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, when he's biting up that girl in the eye way, like, I don't get, like, how exactly is like all that blood popping out like as if it was like real vampire teeth?
Well, I mean, I guess that he got special teeth that will actually do it.
Pierce.
And as you saw earlier from his scene, he is willing to kill people.
Really? I never got that.
So
I just love that the fat kid from Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. Oh, my brother.
I forgot he was a Bad Santa.
That fat kid from Bad Santa finally got his.
I was watching it with my brother, and right when that kid popped up, he was like, oh, the kid from Bad Santa, and he's still fat.
Yep. That's the first thing that came into my mind.
But that kid was so good in Trick or Treat. He was hilarious.
Yep. Oh, that movie's so good.
Oh, and in the line, Charlie Brown is an asshole.
Shh! Daddy's trying to bury children down here.
Start with the eyes.
Oh, so yeah.
Rio, what did you think of the kid's tale? Because I was surprised because like all the kid actors were really good.
Right. And I kind of like when they played the trick on the witch girl, right?
I was surprised.
Right, I went, okay. So they're the evil kids. I don't understand. And then immediately when she went inside the thing, I went, no, they're not the evil kids. I know where this is going.
I don't know if this was ever really properly defined in the film, but I was wondering, like, in that whole setup, after she got out of the elevator and she was walking back home, I would only assume. Do you think she had something to do with Sam at all?
Yeah, it's this woman.
Sam was there.
No, Sam was there, but you could kind of either take it as that Sam just happened to be there because he has something to do with the children, and that the only reason Sam didn't kill her was because she had a jack-o'-lantern with her.
No, he was there with all. He was there with the werewolves. He was there with her. He was sitting on the log.
Yeah, no, I know he was there, but I mean,
she's clearly one of his minions, our friends, or whatever.
I was about to say minions, yeah.
Right, she's clearly one of them, because she all of a sudden didn't need any glasses and just put on her hat and walked her way home.
She's like, these children are awful.
Yeah, you go. I'm like, are they really going to... I'm like, these kids are going to kill... I don't know. And the second she went in the elevator, I went, I know where this is
heading. I love that, you know, the movie's not afraid to off kids, which isn't seen a lot.
This... Wow. You see, this is the problem. Now, this movie has raised the bar so high.
Yeah.
And horror movies, by and large, are still friggin' terrible.
Well, I'm going to have to send you a list of good ones, because it sounds like we've missed a lot of good ones.
Like?
Did you say, which one of you guys didn't see An American Werewolf in London?
I haven't seen it.
I've seen that one.
All right. Have you seen Cronenberg's horror movies?
Which one?
Scanners or The Fly, you could call it.
I've seen
movie.
The Fly.
Scanners.
Is The Fly a horror film?
I guess.
I kind of take that as
monster
just
movies
monster/sci-fi.
It's kind of a monster movie.
Because, I mean, it's not like The Fly rampages.
Yeah,
but it's disgusting looking.
Yes, and of course, disgusting is horrible.
But you've seen like Rosemary's Baby and Repulsion, right?
I haven't seen Rosemary's Baby, and what was that other one?
Repulsion. It's another Polanski movie.
Mm. Right, but those are, you've named like five, and there's like a
A Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream.
I've seen Nightmare on Elm
Street. I love Scream.
The first, there's a couple of Nightmare, the Freddy Krueger movies. Like, the first two I like, and then everything after that is complete nonsense. The Jason movie, the first one, like the very first.
I haven't really watched the Jason films.
And all the
and
others
with Freddy Krueger, I've seen all of them, but it was terrible. So long ago that they've all melded together, and I don't know which is which.
Is Predator a horror movie?
No, I wouldn't call it a horror film.
Great.
But what about Alien? You could call Alien a horror movie.
No. Yeah, it kind of falls into action horror.
I refuse to call it
Not the first
horror.
Alien, that's not an action movie.
Aliens is not a horror movie, I refuse.
Aliens is an action movie. But other good horror movies, The Mist, Dawn of the Dead, the original and the remake.
I love the remake, but I think it's more fun than horror.
Yeah, I guess so.
Changeling.
You know, there's just a bunch of great
horror
movies.
Have you seen Changeling?
I have it, but I haven't.
Changeling
sucks. Moxie.
Yeah, Shannon loves it.
Told me that we need to watch it. And she loves horror movies because there's something wrong with her.
Oh, wait. Oh, I thought you meant Clint Eastwood's Changeling.
No.
How is that a horror? Well... Fair enough. Horror movie.
I mean, that's a pretty scary movie. It's not good at all, so...
I'm going to admit, I actually like that movie.
Oh, man, that's so bad.
Actual, the old Changeling.
No, the new one with Clint...
No, I'm talking the Changeling Andrew. I was referring to.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that I happen to like the Clint Eastwood Changeling.
Andrew, I want my son back.
Like, yes, you get it.
That's not my son.
Give me back my son!
Damien... You're going to kill your son, is all I have to say.
He'd probably have it coming. Probably going to crash.
And then
he'll
come back as Sam. And he'll kill you when
I'm
you're
going
an old
to kill
man.
Him again.
When you're an old man and you keep saying, get off my lawn, he'll come
get
and he'll kill you.
I need to have that tape. And as soon as people open my gate, that's the first thing they hear. As you push it, get off my lawn. Yes.
Wait,
putting it in play.
You guys actually didn't like Gran Torino, right?
I love Gran Torino.
That movie is so awesome. Let me I love Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood more.
Yeah,
the movie had nothing to do with why I like that movie. I like old Clint Eastwood.
I think why I love that movie is that Clint Eastwood is awesome and everyone else is shite. But that movie is
terrible. I just love old Clint Eastwood. Because it's exactly the person that I think Clint Eastwood would be
when he gets old. Like, looking back at all of those movies you love, you're like, if he ever got old...
Fistful of Dollars. Good, the bad.
Anyways, I guess we've gone on enough, and we've already said our piece about this wonderful horror film that everyone needs to see.
Yeah, so Saw is terrible. And Orphan.
Us.
And all the other terrible horror movies that have come out this year. So you're due one good one, I guess.
Oh, Drag Me to Hell and Grace were really good.
Grace was good.
I haven't watched Grace yet. I have it.
People keep saying that it's great, but I don't believe them.
It looks like it's bad good.
No, it's actually really good.
Okay.
Right, I gave Trick or Treat a chance. I must can give some others a chance. But when you're inevitably wrong, I'm going to tell you the next time I speak with you that you are wrong.
Well,
and
you know,
find some way
you can
to slap
say I'm wrong about a little horror movie, but it's not like I'm saying. Let's say Saw is better than Citizen Kane. It's not like I'm saying that.
I'm saying that.
Yeah, I know.
You're
I'm saying
that.
If Damien wants to say I'm wrong about Grace, you know, I'll bring that up.
At least Alison Lohman will be there to keep me company.
You damn right.
Anyway. This was the Unnamed Movie Podcast, and I'd like to thank you, Jack, for joining us. But is there anywhere you want to point people to on the internet before you go?
Twitter.
It smells like a deadwhore.com. I'm starting that website.
What's the site, by the way?
It smells like a dead whore.
No, but in all seriousness, you can find me thefilmstage.com, where I do reviews and articles and interviews, and then Atomic Popcorn, where I also do interviews, and Jack G on Twitter.
Okay.
Yep.
As usual, you can find this podcast on iTunes, on the Podcast Alley, and on my site on gmanreviews.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at gmanreviews. Damien, is there anywhere people can find you?
Absolutely not. I hate all you internet bastards. Please leave me alone. Got work and shit.
The podcast typically broadcasts every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream. Just search for the Unnamed Movie Podcast and you'll find us, or a link in one of my posts on the site. And you can hear us talk about movies. Email us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com.
Send us screeners. Whatever happened to all the screeners you guys?
We're supposed to be getting a copy of Ink. Ink.
Oh, yeah, I remember that trailer.
Dave is sending me a copy, so...
That's great.
Never heard
thanks,
of it.
Dave.
Look it up. Dave from Screen Geeks has been raving about it to me for a long while.
May have to check it out.
Yeah. It's been doing a lot of screenings all over the States.
Huh. See, I moved to the States, but I like, weather, yes. Yes. Jamaica is... I don't know if you guys know this, but Jamaica is very nice.
And on that bombshell... and on that bombshell, good night. Travel the world and the seven seas.